We will move on to 18, 2024 outreach programs and event numbers. And I believe April's with us in person, and so is Rachel. Welcome, ladies. And Brandon. Welcome, Brandon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling. I'm April Larson, the Marketing Coordinator, and joining me today is Brandon Moss, sitting next to my right, with the Hunt Safe Coordinator, and then Rachel Comas, the Volunteer Coordinator. I'm excited to be able to present numbers for the entire agency on how our outreach programs and events did this year. And from previous presentations, I know a lot of the questions that came up were really about our partnership programs and Hunt Safe. So we brought the experts along so we can address all those questions, hopefully, in one go. I have the clicker. So in 2024, just some overarching outreach programming numbers. In your commission book, there is some additional graphs and numbers, so it does go a little bit more granular for your purposes. We did have 3,752 programs that were reported by staff this year. Of that, we had over 127,000 participants. Of that reported, 59% are youth and 41% of them are adults. And we'll get down a little bit more specific to explain why that's kind of significant as we talk about kind of that partnership between wildlife and parks. Overall, you can see on this graph, on this slide, programs by locations. We do on the wildlife side, the fisheries department, wildlife and habitat, they put on programs that they did report. Law enforcement is also active, especially in schools and presenting their own programs as well. So we did get quite a few reported in this year, which was really exciting. Hunt Safe, Brandon will talk a little bit more later on, 176 were reported. And then the outdoor campus east and west respectfully had 943 and 424. When I did reach out to the directors for the education out in the areas, the two comments I heard was we're really focused on the ORAM model. So when you're thinking of the R3, it's about recruiting and then retaining, and while you're retaining, getting their skills up. So they're really focused on getting the hunter not only out in the field, getting them the skills, but then getting them that support network to continue to hunt. And I know Brandon would be able to speak more of this if you're looking for that. The R3 team, that's with like Becoming an Outdoor Woman and some of the great programming they do, even with the parks down at North Point Recreation Area. Right next door is that shooting range. So we do have a great partnership with the parks and R3 with having some shooting sport programs there. Parks did have a little over 2,000 programs reported. And then on the right-hand side of that slide, it's the programs by subject. Similar to what we've seen in previous years, like environmental education, so that's like a lot of those furs, animal tracks, the identification, that would be environmental education. In the parks, that's a really number one kind of program that's really wanted and needed by schools and younger students. Fishing, we had an increase this year, and I'll speak to that momentarily. Similar with hunting skills, and then we did from last year, Secretary Roebling said that he wanted to see more shooting sports and archery, so we did have a little bit of increase there too that I'll be able to speak to. The first one, though, that I wanted to speak to is the increase in participation here in 2024 with our programming outreach. I said 27-plus in our annual report. At the time when our statistics were in, we had just over 27%. We're now close to a 30% increase in participation, actually, that reported in for 2024. And I think that bar graph shows significantly from 2020, when we really had those more restrictions on what kind of programs we could put out. We were really focused in 2020 on online education, so that participation was a little lower. Though in 2024, on the park side especially, we were really focused on quality over quantity for our programs, meaning we wanted more participation at the programs that we were putting out. So that's what is reflected there. We did have that significant participation. On the park side of programming, in those over 2,000 programs, we had just over 91,000 participants. I did put in here that 54% is youth and 46% adults. A lot of our programs, especially as you look down at Adams Homestead and Nature Area, for example, those 96 programs, a lot of those are specifically targeted to the younger participants. So that's the reason why we do have a higher youth education number than, say, the wildlife does. So our numbers do average out a little bit differently. The other parks that you're probably very familiar with that do put on a lot of programs, Custer State Park, they put on just under 1,000 programs this year alone, Good Earth, Lewis and Clark, Fort Sisseton, Pelican Lake, and then Adams Homestead. And great programming. I don't want to undermine that we have a great other programs. Not reported here is well over 650 programs that are also being accomplished out in the other parks as well. The top attended park events for 2024, not in our statistics, would be Buffalo Roundup. We did hit that record this year with over 24,000 attendees at Roundup, so that was a great success for our department this year. We also saw that Fort Sisseton's Historic State Park Festival this summer brought in over 11,000 folks. Good Earth State Park, they have that summer concert series every Sunday during the summer, collectively brought in over 3,500 attendees. And then we also have the like holiday events happening, trick-or-treat trails. We have at Good Earth that Indigenous Artists on the Prairie was another successful year. The Harvest Festival, again, an annual event that saw good numbers. Fall in the Park, Homesteader Day down at Beaver Creek. We sometimes forget about that one, but that's been an ongoing annual event close to Sioux Falls for many years. And then Christmas at the Homestead, which is a day event on a weekend. And then the Loose Power Pioneer Day brought 612. And so that was a good top event for the park system this year. One really big success, and I look at Rachel Comas too, because she was an instrumental support along with all the park staff. We had a 35% increase in fishing programs compared to 2023. So I really wanted to take a moment to thank all the staff out there. We really partnered with the R3 team to get up a new program with the Reel in Memories with our park theme in 2024, which is where Rachel really came into. We had decals that she could speak to if you have questions on this, but we saw a really good success with our Reel in Memories, over 3,500 participants. And with the technology, with Heather Berg, with our GIS system, we were able to collect survey data from the participants. And we had 15% new anglers reported from just participating in this park program, which is a great partnership with wildlife as well. And then a 31% reported that they purchased a fishing license just to be able to participate in that Reel in Memories activity. So really exciting to see. The Reel in Memories annual park theme really put fishing front and center, even on our communications this year, and really getting out the communication. We also saw with the Park and Wildlife Division was with our education teams, even on the campus, they would participate, and then they would encourage folks to actually go to the parks to go fishing. So when possible, even when we talked, when I talked to the Outdoor Campus West, they tried to get as many programs into the park at Custer State Park that they could. So they would start, say, a lesson at the Outdoor Campus, and then, like, the next one they would bring to Custer State Park to continue that lesson. So it was a great partnership this year. 602 fishing programs were offered this year. Of those, 32 were the first catch center, so, and that brought in 853 participants. And that was the one where we had the intern, and it's part of the grant. So then we'll have the first catch center out the following year as well. Another great program that I did want to mention, just because we did see an increase, is our archery and shooting sports from last year. And this was a great partnership again with, especially, we have a picture of the conservation officer there demonstrating and then helping families at Becoming Outdoor Family this year. With Becoming Outdoor Family held down at North Point Recreation Area, they had a lot of opportunity to have a lot of different things from fishing to archery. They did like survival classes and everything. Though the archery was actually the most attended class out of all of them. Every single family wanted to have archery, which I think speaks highly about the partnership and opportunity that we even have in the park system to be able to recruit and then help get families into archery as well. So we are continuing the R3 partnership. The R3 team does have Jimmy Joe Wade's been doing wonderful programming down in our southeast corner, North Point and that area, and has offered quite a few range classes to get comfortable just being on the range, and then archery classes and fishing programs within that too. So continuing those programs. 285 archery and shooting sport programs were offered here in 2024, so an increase of 56. So hopefully in this next year, now that we have that base set, we can continue to increase. So really exciting. I am going to turn it over. So one of the big, obviously, pieces of our education is Hunt Safe. And I know there's been quite a bit of growth and excitement there. So I'm going to turn it over to Brandon.
Yeah, thank you, April. Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, yeah, Hunt Safe. It's definitely grown quite a bit from way back in the 2020 era of when classes were challenging. The last couple years, we've kind of hit a little bit of a plateau. We did hit the most number of classes that I can find record of this past year, just by a little bit, and it just kind of ebbs and flows between the different types of courses that we have. The one that I'm really trying to focus on is our in-the-school program, and that it's, as you can imagine, there's a lot of turnover with teachers, so that's kind of, I think, why we haven't seen a huge growth from last year. It's just because there's some teachers that were involved with it that moved on to other jobs and whatnot. But looking ahead to this next year, we've got PEER. They're going to continue. I'm not sure if you'd heard, but last spring was the first time every sixth grader in PEER took Hunt Safe through their PE class, and then we held a specific field day just for them, and that was a big success, and that allowed a lot more students to just get their hands on the Hunt Safe materials than we've seen in the past just in the PEER area. Personally interested to see what that does with the traditional Hunt Safe classes in the PEER area, with a lot of the kids getting it through the in-the-school program. And then just this past fall, I went up and helped Leola do their first in-the-school class. And so that was kind of a unique one where they bust the kids out during school time to a range, and we helped them do a live shoot. And that's the goal. That's what we really like to see, is get it all done during school, still allow the live fire and whatnot. And that's really great to have that school on board to the fullest extent. And then I just trained up a teacher from Timber Lake just a couple days ago. He came down to my office, and so we're looking forward to that one getting going here this next semester. and then I'm talking to a teacher from Tyndall. So there's lots of schools on the books, and they're just trying to work through their own steps with their own admin to get it into their classroom. And then this last year was the first year, first full year with the free NRA course, and so we saw over 400 students take advantage of that, and it's been interesting to see how it all shakes out with the free option, the $25 option, and then the $50 option. And yeah, but lots of people are taking advantage of that free course that we're happy to offer for them. And then, yeah, we had 6 new schools in 2024, and we'll hopefully continue to see that growth. You can change it. So this is a map that I created from every location that there was a Hunt Safe class. The red dots were just a traditional, whether it was a field day or just a traditional class. And then the white circle, there's a little schoolhouse in there. That was in the school location. And so this just helps give me a better picture of where the holes are in the state. And so that's the areas that I'm going to focus on through a couple different avenues and ideas I have to try to gain some traction with some, whether it's volunteer help or talk to some NGOs or other local entities in those areas that could help out and supply some volunteers and class locations too. And then every other year, we do in-person, statewide, bring all the instructors together. And that was this past spring. And we brought about 120 instructors here to the Ramcota. And my biggest focus was the standards. I've been feeling in my couple years in this position that a lot of the instructors, they kind of get sucked up into their little cohorts of groups. And I wanted to try to bring everybody back under one roof and equalize out the Hunt Safe experience across the state. So a student that took it in Rapid City can have a very similar experience that compared to somebody that took it, say, in Aberdeen or Sioux Falls. So that's what we focused on, and that's continuing through this year as IHEA, the governing board on the national level that produces the standards for Hunter Ed, they just release some new standards that I'll adopt into our state and disseminate them to all of our instructors and try to get everybody back on the same page. Yeah, and I'll pass it on.
Before you do, Brandon, I have a question for you. Can you go back and explain the Hunt Safe in the schools? So you're training the teachers, and then the teachers do the actual instruction?
Yep. Yeah, so we have a pre-made lesson plan that we've broken it out into 10 one-hour sessions, and that the minimum requirement is 10 hours of instruction for any Hunt Safe class, whether it's in the school or a traditional class. And so we've split up the curriculum into a very digestible in the school format with 10 one-hour classes. And then we teach the teacher how to go through that curriculum. And then, so that's pretty black and white. The part that I really work on with each individual teacher is how to, ways to modify the curriculum without compromising any of the standards to fit into their school. So some schools don't even like we have orange dummy guns. They function outside of firing. The actions function just like a regular firing firearm, so students can learn how to load and unload. Some schools don't mind that. Other schools struggle to allow those into their schools. So we can supplement that with Nerf guns for a few of the activities. And then even some schools don't allow that. So I work through what are some field day opportunities that we could coordinate to allow the students to have a field day to go to that's not connected to the school administration anymore. And so just try to make it as seamless and easy as possible to get as much of this information into the school as we can.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Rachel, any questions for Brandon before we move on? Rachel. Back to April.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Back to April for a slide real quick. So park prescription, I just wanted to give a quick overview. So as we're talking through events and programs, this is one with Department of Health that is still in forefront for us, and I wanted to bring back to the attention of the commission here because we did see some great numbers, especially from a marketing side. This year, Department of Health has a marketing partner that they pay to help us with our marketing efforts on social media. This year, we did have 4 million impressions, so that means that these ads were seen 4 million times, and we had just under 2,000 clicks on those advertisements. So we did get our word out with ParkRx. We have additional, obviously, efforts. I know Madam Chair herself was promoting ParkRx at one of her events as well. So I really appreciate all of statewide, all the efforts we are doing with Park Prescription, as it is a great opportunity for doctors and medical professionals to help get it's all state residents into our park system. We did have an increase of 117 new prescribers come into the program this year, so those would be your doctors, your psychologists. We did open it up to some physical therapists as well. So in 2024, we did see a growth. We have over 450 healthcare providers that are able to prescribe for us. This year in 2024, we did see an increase again in park passes redeemed. There was 386. So we can continue to see growth. I think the 386 speaks volumes to that our healthcare providers are really focusing on who can actually benefit from this program the most and really being strategic in who they are writing them out for too. So I like to see that. It really tells a picture of our program as well, that we're increasing, but it's not over the top. The average number of people in that car that's going through that reported anyway was 3.5 people. So with each pass going into the park, it's actually impacting even more people than just that one pass. And now I'm going to turn it over to Rachel, that will go through some more partnerships that we have.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. Another partnership program we have with Department of Health is Go Forth. Go Forth has been a partnership program since 2015. It's part of the Healthy South Dakota Initiative to promote health and wellness through physical activity. This program is aimed to get kids and their families outside and active by introducing them to the state parks and the activities and programs we have available, kind of like the ones April referenced earlier. There's a lot of opportunity there for people to get outdoors and try new things and then increase that healthy lifestyle. All South Dakota fourth graders receive a pass each spring. They can either redeem it for a one-day pass, a half-price discount on an annual pass, or a three-year subscription to the Conservation Digest. It also includes a one-hour equipment rental for kayaks, bicycles, cross-country skis, things like that. And like April talked about our theme this last year, we really pushed it with the Reel in Memories. So on their Go Forth pass, they had a pass they could cut out and kind of like their own youth fishing license, things like that. So we helped promote that as well. A big thing with Go Forth that helps this be, that really helps encourage those numbers is we have staff present passes at the school instead of just mailing them out. This is a great opportunity for our local park staff, wildlife staff, you know, new COs to get into the schools, introduce them to the kids, the faculties, things like that. And a lot of times we have them partner up. So maybe I got a new naturalist and a conservation officer that's been around for a long time. They can go there together and work on those programs. And they do popular activities like critter crates, or we might take them all out to the park and do hikes. So not only do they just get a pass, they get to be introduced to those things that we do as well. This past year we had 555 passes redeemed. 519 of those were the 50% discount, and 36 were the daily pass. We had 58 students sign up for the Conservation Digest. In addition to that, we also allow the teachers to get a copy of the Conservation Digest for the classroom if they're interested, and that's always very popular as well. 35 rentals this year, and with that, kind of like with ParkRx, you know, we're counting how many folks are actually in the car there. 2,465 people were able to enjoy the parks this year with the Go Forth program. And when talking about those staff going out to the school, of the 368 schools, we had 103 schools that our staff went into and presented those passes. That number grows each year, and I keep challenging them to get us out there even more. So that's been hugely successful for us. Next up, I have the Check Out South Dakota State Parks program. This program was new last year, and it is a partnership program with Department of Education. We've also had Department of Health hop on board with this and help provide some funding as well. I was talking to them about our record year and Go Forth last year, asking for a little more money to help with the Go Forth program, and talking about Check Out South Dakota State Parks, and that also aligned with that Healthy South Dakota initiative, so we were able to add some funds with that as well. This program, same thing, it aims to get new users the opportunity to get out to the park. You know, sometimes folks aren't always familiar, or they've lived next to a park, but they've never just gone out and bought a license and done that. So they can go simply check out, go to their local library and check out that pass for up to 3 days, just like you would a library book or something. You go out there, you enjoy the parks, and then there's a little QR code on the back. They fill out a survey, and they drop that pass right into the library bin, and then it's available for the next patron to check out. This has been very popular. We know libraries are kind of the gateway for folks to explore the world around them, and then this gives them to explore it actually in the outdoors. They get that opportunity. We cross-promote services and events like citizen scientist kits, local park events, story walks, little lending libraries in the parks. We also were able to, we had some surplus of some wildlife books as well, and so through this program, we talking with Mary Ogan and Chad Switzer and some stuff that we had and what we were doing, you know, you get to talk and you have those conversations. So we've also been able to supply some fisheries, pheasant, grouse, turkey, waterfowl books to their library collections in some of these local libraries that were interested. Let's see here. Oh, whoops. We've got 91 public and academic libraries participating in the program, with over 175 passes available. Passes were checked out over 1,718 times. We're still getting that last quarter of participation numbers from some of our libraries that were closed over Christmas time. So I'm anticipating about 200 more checkouts. That would be just in line with last year. And so they've already got, we're already at over 230 more than the previous year. And we promote this very simply. Like last year, we had our Sasquatch Harrington visit the Rawlings Library here in town. I knew the library, and so I was like, do you mind? And it was great. They loved it. We had a great time. Siouxland Libraries, they love it. They get the passes that are supplied to the program. They even buy a few additional passes to allow for their patrons. And so they visited Big Sioux and did their own promotional video this year. And our local libraries set up great displays like this one shown here, or they use those books that we've helped supply to them. So a lot of fun stuff to give people the opportunity. The story I always tell with the checkout program is when we were first talking with local librarians about it, I had one, she just wasn't quite sure. She lived about 20 minutes from a local park, but she'd never visited it. She wasn't familiar. And I said, you be the first patron to check out the pass. And then call me back, tell me what you think. Well, when she called me back, she'd already purchased a pass. And she's a new user and she loves it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. April Larson, continuing to the last couple slides here. So switching gears now to talk exciting things for 2025. This year, we have started the new year with an excitement with breaking a new record, and that was at Gooder State Park. We had 353 hikers show up to the Gooder State Park first day hike on January 1st. So I wanted to do a major thank you out to staff that was able to help with that. I also wanted to do a thank you to our South Dakota volunteer naturalists. So this would be a nonprofit program that
Game Fish and Parks, we actually helped build this program. They are naturalists out in our communities. We had six naturalists come out from South Dakota volunteer naturalists to lead hikes, and Good Earth State Park was one of them. We had another volunteer naturalist at Big Sioux Recreation Area, Farm Island Recreation Area, Lake Herman State Park, Lake Ponset Recreation Area, and then Oakwood Lake State Park. So we're really thankful for our volunteers. Those naturalists are part of the volunteer program. They go through hours of schooling just to be able to participate, and they meet every, I think it's month, correct me if I'm wrong, if anyone knows out here, Jen Stahl down at Good Earth State Park. She is our representative with the SD Volunteer Naturalist, and I know Rachel sat in with and helped with their program as well. But really exciting partnership to see this year, and then with the strong numbers. We also had first day hikes or programming going on led by park staff out at Adams Nature Area this year. The George S. Mickelson Trail had events going on. Hartford Beach had events. Lewis and Clark, Lake Hiddenwood even put on a first day hike. And then Pelican Lake Recreation Area also worked on some additional programming to get folks on the trails over the first day. The First Day Hikes is a national program. This is an ongoing partnership as well to get folks out and moving on the first day and starting everyone out on the right foot is their official kind of slogan. So really exciting to see. The other one that I did want to tease you with, more or less, in 2025, so we had Reel in Memories for our park theme in 2024. Moving into 2025, the state park system is going to be making a splash with Make a Splash at South Dakota State Parks. The logo is presented there. So we will be back in the spring to tell you more about our theme for 2025 and what that looks like, but please look forward to knowing that we have fun things coming, all to do with water recreation and everything off of that. And do you have any questions for us?
Any questions, comments? Commissioner White.
I can't compliment you enough on the enthusiasm that you bring to your programs. I just have to say I can see why the success is there, and I compliment you on that. Young people relate to that, and I'm sure that's why you're seeing these numbers, but I compliment you on your presentation and the successes that you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner White. Commissioner Cole?
Kudos to everything you're doing. In the 2 years I've been on here, I've heard nothing but good from what you're doing. incredible. I have to give him some credit. The one thing, and I want to zero in on one thing with you, young man. If I counted right, it's 16 schools that have Hunt Safe offered. Is that correct?
We're around the 30 mark.
Around the 30 mark. And so is there any difference? I saw the map, and I counted the 16. What is there any difference between schools? Is there, some do something and some don't?
Yeah, there's overlap of, you probably just missed some of the circles because there's overlap of regular classes. But yeah, there's a wide variety of, on one end, we've got some schools that are doing the, during school hours, taking them to a range, live fire, then they'll even bring in like a dead pig or something, do like a field to fork, and like go beyond the hunter ed curriculum. And then we have, on the other end, it's more of the hesitant to bring in the Nerf guns, so we're using Nerf guns. Or we'll do like broomsticks in the school and then do a separate field day, conveniently timed.
And you know of that 30 approximately, how many are actual teachers doing it versus volunteers or the regular Hunt Safe instructors?
Yeah, off the top of my head, there's only one in Newell that is volunteer-led. The rest are all teachers.
It's all teachers.
Yep.
Yeah, well, there's the big mark right there. 10 years ago, I know there was one county. I think that was Lyman. When I was a kid, I think everyone taught it. I think that's great we're getting that back in there. I think we have to get some cabinet secretaries, work with Department of Education, and get guns allowed everywhere. But we'll do that on another level. But, yeah, great job. Can't say enough good. One thing, you said two numbers. You said 34% of the people, and I don't know if it was fishing or whatever it is. Here's my big, I don't even care what the percentage. What I really want to know is the data. I'm concerned for you guys that we can track this. And I know you said something about 16% did one thing, 34 did another thing, and it was had bought a license. And I know this is probably a bigger question, but I want to say it publicly now while everybody's in here. I really like to get something that's something on our licenses, maybe, that say, have you participated in a program at an outdoor campus in South Dakota? I don't know if that's possible, if it makes enough sense, but I know some states are doing something similar, and the data's a little better. You're getting them from the people that are there, and I'm trying to figure out if we can get them from the licenses somehow. So just something to think about, but somebody wants to answer that, I can see.
Yeah, April.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Hall, what I can tell you, we are working with a new, with our Go Outdoor system to be able to do registration. And I know one of the goals, and Rachel, I'm not sure if you've sat in or Brandy, you can speak to more of this too, but that's one of the goals was be able to eventually have that registration system that we just launched turn into also a reporting system so we could all have some of that. I know where we are, even for some of our grants, we do need to have some of that reporting. So in the campuses and with certain R3 efforts, they do currently do surveys. But having, yeah, that overarching, I would agree, very good point. Do you have further?
Through the chair, those numbers were only for the individuals that participated in the Real in Memories. And each year we gather a little more data and find a better way to get information from our user base and things that would help encourage those programs. But yeah, that's a small percentage there that we're coming getting that from.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Cole. Any additional questions or comments? Outstanding presentation today. Good job to all of you. And with that, we're going to continue.